Hello and happy Monday. Welcome back to Press Any Button, a video game podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Eric.
And we are your co-hosts. Today we're going to be talking about a game called Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, an infamous SNES game that puts you in the shoes of Macaulay Culkin as you traverse four tedious and very orange stages in your mission to make it back to your family.
It's not really Macaulay Culkin. It's actually Kevin McAllister.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. Because it's the character, not the actor.
They are one and the same at this point. Okay. Spoiler alert. We're going to be talking about all the deep and, you know, many storylines in this game.
We are also going to be...
We haven't played it since the 90s.
We are also going to be shitting on this game quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I want to say up front that making video games is hard, and making good games is even harder. And basically, I want to put all the empathy up front so we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And also, FYI, we have a little surprise, a little something exciting to announce at the end of the episode. So make sure you stay tuned. Let's get started.
All right, let's do it.
Eric, I'm so ready to learn about this horrible game.
It has a really...
Spoiler alert, I think it's horrible.
Interesting. Well, I couldn't really find that much, but I found some stuff and we'll talk about it. Anyway, so there are five different versions of the Home Alone 2 video game. Did you know that?
Jeez. I knew that there was at least three because I think there's one on Game Boy. And then the one on SNES, which we played. And isn't there one on Sega?
Yeah. Okay. So there's the Nintendo version, the Super Nintendo version, and the Game Boy versions, which were made by Imagineering. The Genesis version was made by Sega, and the MS-DOS version was made by Manley & Associates.
Is MS-DOS just like computer version of
the
game?
So we have the five different versions of the game. Imagineering made the Super Nintendo game, which is the one that we played, and their NES and Game Boy games were very similar to the SNES.
But, okay, why does that name sound familiar? Do they do any other famous games or anything?
They might have made a few. Imagineering is also the name of an Imagineer is like, you think Disney.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
That's probably it. Okay, so Imagineering was founded in 1986, located in Glen Rock, New Jersey. It was the in-house studio for the company Absolute Entertainment, founded by former Activision employee Gary Kitchen.
Ooh, Activision.
Yeah, that's
a lot. I know that name.
A lot of facts right there.
That's a lot of facts. So he left Activision and created...
Yeah, Absolute.
What is it called again?
Absolute Entertainment.
Oh, okay.
So here's a sampling of some of Imagineering's games made before Home Alone 2. A Boy in His Blob, Trouble in Blobonia, Battle Tank, Ghostbusters 2, Bart vs. the Space Mutants, Bart vs. the World, Barbie.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I mean, I know a lot of those franchises, at least.
Have you heard or played any of these old games?
Oh, I do not think so. I've definitely heard of a couple of them. The Bart one.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Ghostbusters 2. I don't think I ever heard of the game, but I obviously know the movie.
The Bart vs. the Space Mutants is one of those infamously bad games that gets brought up a lot.
I think I remember watching an angry video game nerd video about that.
Yeah, so it's, if you look at the company's track record, things aren't looking too good for this game.
So why do they get these sequel games but not the original ones? They have Home Alone 2 and Ghostbusters 2.
They also did the first Home Alone game. I don't know why I didn't list the first Home Alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did it.
So they did it. Did they do the first Ghostbusters game too? Do you know?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Maybe. I'll have to go back and check.
And forgive me for asking, but are most of those games considered pretty bad.
Yeah, I think not all of them are terrible. A Boy and His Bop kind of had mixed reviews. Battle Tank kind of mixed reviews. I don't think they're all terrible, but okay. You know, it's there's enough red flags in that group, I feel like.
To not trust them.
Yeah, to not trust them. Okay, so Home Alone 2 was released in late 1992 and received poor reception. It received an award for worst sequel of 1992 from Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Can you call that an award?
Yeah, and it also won another award for worst movie to game in 1996.
Can you call those awards? I mean, they shouldn't call it an award if it's for something bad, right?
You know.
Congratulations, you are the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Here's a certificate.
One thing I was curious about, but I couldn't find information, was if this game actually commercially did well. Because my guess is it probably did. Because, you know, it's that Home Alone franchise tag on a game.
I'm sure.
It doesn't have to be good. They know kids are going to buy it.
Exactly. I'm sure it probably sold pretty well. I mean, you said you bought it as a kid, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they duped you. They probably duped a lot of other kids. That's a lot of allowances. The people were probably very sad that they spent.
A lot of really sad kids on this one. Absolute Entertainment would eventually go bankrupt in 1995.
Is it because of this game, or just because you know, they just kept going down the same path?
I think people eventually started to figure out which games.
Like, I'm on to you.
Well, it's like, okay,
no more.
I'm gonna stop buying these Simpsons games because they're bad. Once you put out so many bad games, people start kind of figuring it out. I think
so too.
So that concludes the past section.
That's it?
Yeah. There's not very much information about this game in general.
Wow. So I'm kind of curious. Like, I wonder if it was just like kind of like an obligatory kind of game, you know, because in the 90s especially, you couldn't have a TV show, comic book, anything without toy companies wanting to come in and make action figures, make video games, board games, toys, you know, all that, because they wanted to make like extra money off of the franchises. So I wonder if they just pumped this out because they had to, because it doesn't really seem like they put a lot of thought into
In fact, I think from the first Home Alone game, I think they actually borrowed some of the same graphics. Like that lady with the umbrella, I think she was in the original.
That's just lazy, you know?
This was an extremely lazy game. So I have three fun facts and a sad fact.
Okay. I don't know if I want to know the sad fact.
Would you rather have the fun fact first or the sad fact? I kind of don't want to end on the sad fact.
Yeah, let's just do the sad fact first, because I don't want to end on the sad fact either.
Okay. So the game was dedicated to the memory of Tom D. Height. He was one of the programmers and died during development of the game. He was only 45 at the time.
Man, that's really sad.
Yeah, it does seem really sad.
That's nice that they did dedicate the game to him. I don't know if he would want this game to be. I mean, he probably worked on other games. He might have wanted some of those other ones dedicated to him, but
one of the other games he worked on was Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Okay, well, maybe not that one. I wonder if we asked him, you know, what his proudest game that he made would be.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's sad. So what?
I couldn't find out. Like, I tried to look up an obituary, but I couldn't find one for him. I was kind of curious of what happened. You know, he was pretty young when he died.
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, that is really sad. So you want some fun facts?
Yeah, let's do some fun facts after that.
Okay, and 2016 video game developer Frank Cifaldi found the source code for the NES version of Home Alone 2 on an old hard drive and released it to the public.
What? He just randomly found it?
Yeah.
Like, where?
It was on an old hard drive, I guess.
Just at his house, at where he was working.
Probably maybe bought an old computer or something and found it. I don't know. That's, I don't know how he got the... like,
random.
I don't know how he got that, but
that's cool. That's like finding a treasure. actually, you know?
That's, yeah. I mean,
that'd be nuts if you just bought an old computer and like, oh, here's the original Mega Man game, you know, or something. Like, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, on his original Twitter post, his comment was something along the lines like, I found the source code for this game. Does anyone want it? And there's a bunch of comments, and finally someone said yes. And he was like, okay, one person wants it, so here it is.
That's funny.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm surprised more people didn't want it to try to maybe like improve it or something. Is there much you can do? I don't know.
It was the assembly source code. So I think that assembly is kind of difficult to deal with and program in. Okay. At least from my experience trying to program in assembly. So they found out when they kind of looked at the source code that the game was one of the Simpsons games, kind of just like reskin.
You know what? I think we are pretty on point with our theories of this game. I don't think there was a lot of passion into this.
So the other day when you were asking if it was a Simpsons game, I was like, kind of.
Well, how technical do we want to get?
Yeah. Okay, so the fun fact number two, the founders of Absolute Entertainment came up with that name so it would appear alphabetically before Activision, who had ironically done the same thing when they left Atari. I guess that was a big 80s thing to do.
To try
to make your company appear earlier and whatever alphabetical. Oh, yeah.
They should have done Aaron Company or Air.
AA. Absolute.
Yeah. I'm thinking, use the name Aaron. That's the only AA name I can think of. And then you're guaranteed to be in the front.
Yeah. That's.
And that was kind of like back in the day, when phone books were a thing, that was actually something people thought about when they were naming their business.
Yeah.
Because, like, I used to work for this photographer, and his name does not start with an A, but he basically changed the name to, like, go by his middle name just because it started with an A and he would be further up in the phone book.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I think that's more of an 80s, 90s kind of mentality.
For sure.
When those kinds of things existed.
Yeah, what even is a phone book? I actually get mad if I get a phone book now. I'm like, this is a waste of paper.
It is.
So much paper.
Okay, so fun fact number three. There's an episode of The Angry Video Game Nerd where Macaulay Culkin comes on and they play Home Alone games.
It's
very funny, and that it's a really good episode.
I remember that episode. It is really good.
Yeah.
Clearly, we are pretty big fans of Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah.
We've talked about him in a few episodes now. I think if you're into gaming, a lot of people know who he is at this point. He's pretty mainstream. YouTube.
Yeah, and his he goes over all the different kind of bad Home Alone games.
I guess if you can get Macaulay Culkin on your video, you gotta be kind of up there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not an A-list celebrity or anything.
I don't know what
but...
Macaulay Culkin has going on in his life right now.
Well, he seems to be doing good now. I know he had a rough patch, but I think he's doing all right now.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay, so before we get into the review, I want to talk about my own history with the game.
Okay.
Because I didn't just like grab this one out of thin air.
You didn't randomly pick it?
No.
It was strategically picked.
So I was around 6 or 7 years old when this game came out, and my expectations were obviously through the roof.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine the possibilities in your head. You're just thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get to set up all these traps. I'm going to get to be creative. I'm going to get to, like, bust down some bad guys. Like, I can imagine how awesome this game could have been.
Yeah, and that was me. I had built this game up in my head because, you know, like that's kind of like the fantasy, you know, you're a kid and you're outwitting adults by setting up, you know, traps, booby traps with just like home kind of objects and stuff, whatever you can find around your house.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know about you, but the Home Alone movies were pretty like high up there on like my favorite movies when
I
was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love those movies.
I would quote those movies all the time. And I got in trouble quite a bit for quoting that movie too much. Because like when the pizza guy would come, I'd be like, keep the change, you filthy animal. And my mom would be like, Nikki, do not say that.
Yeah, I definitely did the same thing when I was a kid. So my impression or my thought around the game was that this is going to be a game where you kind of find items, you set booby traps, and then you sit back and you watch hilarious stuff happen to the bad guys.
Yeah, like the movie.
Yeah, exactly like the movie, you know.
And it was not like that.
Yeah. I'm also going to say I hadn't played any of the other Home Alone games at this point because,
okay,
for one, I was only 6 or 7 and I wasn't really super aware of video game, like what video games were out and when.
Yeah.
I just happened to see this one on the shelf and I was immediately drawn to it.
Okay, so you weren't even like planning on buying this for like weeks in advance. You just were at the store.
No, I did. Okay. I saw it at the store and then I planned on buying it.
Oh, okay. So you saw it and you're like, oh, I'm saving my money for that.
Yeah, so I hadn't played the other Home Alone games. I was saving my $60 for this one.
Gosh, and $60 when you're like, yeah, that's 7 not... years old, that is so much money.
Yeah.
I mean, $60 now is not a little amount, but man, it would have taken me a long time to come up with 60 bucks when I was 8.
Yeah, I probably had a pretty generous allowance back then. I don't know.
Knowing your parents, you probably did. Knowing your mom, let me get that, take that back. Knowing your mom, you probably did.
Yeah, so I spent my own allowance on it, and I still am carrying a grudge.
To this day.
Yeah, that this game is not what it should have been, not what it had the potential to be.
I wonder how many letters they got from angry little boys that bought this game, or kids that bought this game.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they're like, what were they called? Absolute?
Yeah, Absolute.
Dear Absolute, you are horrible. This game is hard and stupid. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah. I remember thinking, like, maybe if I get to the uncle's house, you know, level, maybe that's when I can, you know, start, like, finding items and setting up the traps and stuff. And the uncle's house is horrible. It's terrible, like, when you get to it as a kid. It's, like, very precise platforming.
If you can get to it.
I think we finally got there, or Austin probably helped me or something, but I finally got there, and then immediately there's just a bunch of Marvs and Harrys, like it doesn't matter if you kill one of them, they're just multiple of them around the house.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense.
And they show up in all the rooms, and I just remember getting really confused. I kept falling into the basement, and just like, oh my God, it's horrible.
Yeah, I didn't even make it that far, so... But I did see you playing it.
So speaking of the game, what did you like about Home Alone 2?
Okay, so there are a few things that I like about this game.
Really? You found something positive?
I don't think any of them really have to do so much with the game. I don't know. They do, but they don't. So my first pro is that it's nostalgic. Hey, that's like good, right?
When it would have come out, it wouldn't have been nostalgic at all back in 1992.
Well, I know, but I didn't play it back then. I played it now. So,
yeah.
You know, it's nostalgic, so you get that like feel of the movie. But honestly, I'd rather just watch the movie.
Yeah.
But hey, there's not a lot of pros here, so I'm grabbing for straws, or whatever the saying is.
Yeah, that's probably right.
What do you have for pros?
I liked beating rats to death with my knees.
Oh, gross.
I liked finding pizza because it reminded me of pizza in real life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is cool that they have pizza as one of the things. That represents your life, right?
No.
Or your power, or what is,
no.
Like, what is pizza?
No, it would have made sense if there's no way to actually restore power.
What? This whole time I thought the pizza was giving me my life back.
No.
What was the pizza for?
So if you get 6 slices, you get an extra life.
Oh, so it is kind of like an extra life, but you have to get 6 of them?
Yeah, and then...
Holy crap!
Well, you can find whole pizzas too, but I don't think you ever found a whole pizza.
No, I didn't. But 6 slices, that would... You know, you'd have to go through a couple of the levels for that. It was like...
No, you could find 6 slices in the first level.
In the hotel?
Yeah,
in the hotel. Well, you just have to go... Do you have to go into a bunch more rooms?
Yeah, ooh, you need to go into
not
more
worth
rooms.
Not worth it. I like some of the enemies are really silly. You know, you've got like these mops that jump up and down. You've got suitcases just trying to attack you. You've got what are some of the other random things? We've got the umbrella lady. I mean, she's not as random, but
yeah, the belt.
Oh, vacuums. The vacuums that suck you up.
I never got that. Like, why are all these inanimate objects like suddenly coming to life and attacking you? It's like, this. What does that have to do with Home Alone at all? Like,
yeah, it didn't, except for maybe it was stuff that you would see at a hotel. I mean, yeah, suitcases are at hotels because, you know, people are traveling. There's mops because you have to clean it. And maybe yeah. That was their thought. They were just like, let's take some of the stuff that's around hotels and have it attack Kevin.
I guess. They were definitely stretching.
I mean, or like you said, since they basically just used like the Simpsons game and redid it, maybe they're like,
yeah,
they just put a picture over whatever enemies were in the Simpsons game to make it try to fit into the Home Alone theme.
That was probably more likely the case. They just happened to have some assets like, oh, I made this mop. Okay, we'll make that an enemy, I guess. We don't have any other ideas.
Right. I mean, they could have at least had bellboys chasing you around. They could have had the bell carts. Even like desserts or something would have been more relevant because, you know, he like orders that giant dessert cart.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe just more specific to Home Alone 2 would have made it a little bit better, but
I don't think the people who made this game actually watched the movie.
I don't think they did either.
I think they just like maybe looked at the back of the box and like saw some areas or something and were like, okay, this one, those are your levels.
Yeah, it's hard to find too many good things. My other thing is that it's short. And that's a pro because it's short and this game is bad, so at least it's not really long.
Yeah, it's... Well, part of the reason it's so they made it so difficult is because it is really short. So I guess maybe a plus and a minus, maybe.
Yeah, but if they would have made it longer, then they could have maybe even had an actual story.
They had a story, you know. You start with the concierge. He finds Kevin's fake credit card, and they chase him. And then he's pretty much being chased the entire game. He never stops being chased.
Yeah, that's not really a story. That's just something from the movie that they made the whole game about.
Yes, Kevin being chased.
In other games that I've played, if it had something to do with a movie or a TV show, they would often just come up with their own story, but it just takes place in like that universe.
Yeah,
like when I played the Walking Dead game, it didn't have anything to do with any characters in the show, but definitely just in the same world, and you had the same like rules.
Yeah, you're talking about the good Walking Dead game, not the bad one.
Oh yeah,
right.
I don't know if there's a bad one. I've only played the one.
I think there was one that we played from the point of view of like Daryl or something that was supposed to be really bad. But the one that you played was like the Telltale series, I think, where it's more of the story driven.
Yeah, it was more of a pick your own
adventure
sort of thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was good. So let's get on to the long, long, long list of cons.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I want to start off talking about fake difficulty. Do you know what fake difficulty is?
Fake difficulty.
It's a lot like fake news.
Well, I mean, I can assume it means when you think something looks difficult, but it's not?
No. So fake difficulty is basically difficulty that it doesn't actually challenge you as a gamer. It's caused by either poor physics or design or withholding of information or bugs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
okay.
It basically, it's things that add difficulty that shouldn't add difficulty if the game is well designed.
Yeah, it adds difficulty, and it's not anything that you can really work on improving. You can't, there's nothing you can do as a gamer to fix a glitch that's going to be in there no matter what, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you learn how to get through it maybe, but
yeah. So one of the examples I had for fake difficulty in the game is that first mini boss with the baggage where it attacks you while you wait for the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that point, your first thought is, okay, eventually the baggage is going to stop coming at you, right? Well, what was your first thought when you got to that baggage fight?
Oh, I figured it was just going to keep coming until I got on to the elevator.
I thought I remember you, like, just kind of, like, dodging all the bags for a while.
Well, I mean, I was, because I couldn't figure out how to press the button on the elevator. But I did figure that the elevator was there for a reason. So you thought that the luggage was just going to stop at some point?
Yeah, as a kid, I thought, okay, this is a mini boss. Eventually, they're just going to stop coming, and you can use the elevator.
Oh.
But
maybe that's just, like, because I didn't play it as a kid. Maybe as a kid, I would have thought that.
Yeah, the kind of fake difficulty part isn't specifically the never-ending bags mini boss. It's the fact that you have to hit this button while standing in a very specific spot. The button that you have to hit doesn't, like, appear to do anything unless you're standing in that one specific spot.
Yeah.
And then you have to do it. You have to hit it five times.
You have to hit it five times? I didn't know that.
You have to hit the button to call the elevator five times.
I was wondering, like, I did hit it a bunch, so that was just because I was like, was I not standing in the right spot when I hit it? Yeah, it's stupid because on any of the other floors for the elevator, you only have to press the button one time. And I don't think it matters where you're standing when you press it.
And operating elevators in general, like, you would only hit the button once. Yeah, and this is the kind of example, like, the game doesn't say, you know, hit the button five times. You know, it just expects you to know how to do that. And that's the fake difficulty of withholding information from you. That's important to get by, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like so many things in this game are like that because you don't really know what you're supposed to do until either someone tells you or you look it up, you know? Like, or you just play through it and try like 5,000 different combos of stuff.
Yeah. So I have a long list of all the fake difficulty I feel like
encountered. Let's hear it.
All right. I will just kind of speed through this list because there's a lot of stuff on here.
Examples. All right, let's see how fast you can go.
Okay.
Start.
So the slide attack doesn't work sometimes and you end up ducking instead. The slide attack doesn't work on any humans except for the level one Shup boss, which is extremely counterintuitive. The game gives you almost no ammo for the weapons, but then makes you rely on the weapons to get past certain enemies like the bellhop in the basement or the dishwasher. Also, almost all weapons and ammo are hidden, which would be less of a problem if they weren't required for progressing. The jump attack you get from the turtle dove appears to work on all enemies, including people, until you try it on the concierge or the detective, who one-hit kill you. It takes two shots in rapid succession to kill the detective mini-boss in the basement. It's not obvious when you're first fighting him until you waste all your ammo. In order to kill the rats in Central Park, you need room to use a slide attack, but the positioning of the muggers in the bushes make it extremely difficult to use a slide attack without taking damage. The uncle's house is a maze that requires extremely precise platforming, and this game wasn't made for extremely precise platforming. So you will be falling into the basement and have to murder an endless parade of rats many times. One of the required keys you need to grab from the uncle's house is obscured by the screen overlay, and it's not in a position you would know to look for. So it's actually covered up partially by, you know, your screen, the white box in front. There's nothing to indicate that you need to hit a button to call for help and the final boss so that the pigeon lady will throw bird seed, which is the only way to beat the final boss.
Is that it?
Yeah, those are some of the more egregious
examples. That's a lot. I mean, that's probably not even all of them, but I would like to throw in one other thing, and I don't know if this is a false difficulty, but it's just stupid. There's coins in the game that you can collect, but they're pointless. They don't do anything.
Yeah.
Why? Why make it look like they're so important and, like, you know, have them, like, explode out on the screen, like you need to collect them, and then it's for nothing.
It's for your
could die. Because you're collecting them.
It's clearly for your high score, you know. You got to get that high score so you can brag to your friends, hey, I got the Home Alone 2 high score. Because, you know, that was the thing people did.
Okay. But, yeah. That kind of goes with a lot of my cons, actually, because you just, like, encompass them all in one, like, thing. Yeah, it's just not a very well-designed game. Like, things do not make sense. Nothing is intuitive. Like you said, certain moves will work at certain times, but then won't work at other certain times. You know, if it's going to work for people, it should work for all people. If it's not going to work for people, it should not work for any people, not only these two random people. You know, it's like it's taught you one thing, but then it's basically saying, aha, we got you because you thought you learned.
Yeah, it's constantly changing the rules from what it teaches you, like as you're going through it. In good game design, you kind of start off with like, okay, we're going to introduce like a cliff, so players will learn to jump over it, and you start kind of basic and kind of develop the move set. That's an example of good design.
Yeah, exactly.
And the example of bad design is where you do that, and then you keep changing up like what works on what, and yeah.
Yeah, so it makes it impossible for you to learn as you go. You pretty much can only learn once you die, and you have to start over.
Yeah.
It's just very unforgiving. And like you said, a lot of the moves, they just didn't work all the time. And our Super Nintendo works. So it wasn't our controller or anything. It was just, I guess, the way the game was designed or something. But like you said, sometimes when you would go to knee slide, you would just duck instead.
Yeah, that's so frustrating.
Or just other things. Like sometimes when you would jump on something, unless you hit it at the exact right spot, you wouldn't really land on top of it. You'd just go back to the ground. So if you're trying to like jump on a trash can or something to avoid the umbrella lady, if you missed that, then she would probably pretty much hit you and you lose a life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just frustrating. And then like having to be in the specific spot to press a button for the elevator. I mean,
yeah,
that's just dumb.
And the fact that, you know, when you hit that button at any other point, you know, it doesn't do anything. Like, Kevin doesn't make that same kind of pose.
Yeah.
It's like that.
A lot of it doesn't make sense.
That button is used twice in the game. It's used once to push the buttons in the elevator, and then it's also used at the very end of the game in order to call for help from the bird seed lady. Those are the only two instances the X button is used in the entire game.
Yeah. It's just overall not a very fun game to play. You're kind of frustrated most of the time. You feel stupid. And I mean, there's just like not much that's super challenging about it, except like what you said, the false challenge or whatever. There's nothing that's going to really like up your gaming skill level.
Yeah.
With this game.
Well, it's still a hard game. It's like both. It's a combination of fake difficulty and real difficulty that make this game so hard. It's like, it's that feeling. It's like, the game cheats, you know. Used to say that as a kid, the game is cheating.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you're losing.
Yeah. That's what this game is. This game cheats.
This game cheats. The music is meh. It's just kind of repetitive. And
one of the issues they had, I think, was converting the NES music into the SNES music.
Mm-hmm.
So like right off the bat, right when you start the game, the music is just this blaring awful, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just
kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's just like, god, like, this is so obnoxious right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do a good job of like changing the music to the tone, you know. A lot of times when you're playing a video game and you get to a mini boss or a boss, you know, the music will change. So you know, okay, this is more serious or whatever. But in this, it's just like the same music throughout the whole
level, spots,
right?
It changes quite a bit, actually.
I don't know. It's just, in my opinion, they didn't really like do a good job of matching the music to what I felt like it should be when I was playing it.
Yeah.
And speaking of the stupid elevator, oh my gosh, can we just talk about how they make you watch it go through every single floor? So if you're going to the 11th floor, it's going to show that screen for like a minute where you're just riding the elevator.
Well, you have to go to the 11th floor. That's the first floor you go to. So you go to the first floor
to
the 11th
floor.
I know,
I'm just saying it makes you watch Kevin in the elevator for like a minute while it goes through all the floors. And they definitely, I don't know. There could have been like a fade out, fade in type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. So you go from the first floor to the 11th, to the 12th, to the 14th, to the 15th, to the 16th, I think.
And then at some point you go all the way down to the basement.
And then the 16th, yeah, from the 16th, you go all the way down to the basement. So.
And that legit takes 2 minutes, I feel like.
So there's no way to skip the elevator. You just sit there and you watch the floors go by.
Yeah, with the horrible music that I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's just,
I mean, so long. I can imagine being a kid. I would have gone nuts over that. Like, yeah. I'm not a patient person as it is. And when I was a kid, oh man, I would have just been really annoyed.
Yeah, it definitely kills the momentum too, because there's so much more of the game after the elevator's right at the beginning. So you have to sit through so much of the beginning of the game just taking elevators up and down. It's
a waste.
Yeah, it's a waste.
That's pretty much all I had to say about the game. I will not be playing it anymore.
You don't think this is going to be like a regular game that you're going
to... No, I got through the challenge. Hey, listeners, I did make it through the challenge. But then I immediately stopped after that. As soon as I died after I beat the challenge that you assigned me, I was like, no more. I'm not wasting any more of my life playing this game. I saw you playing it, and it looked really even hard for you. And it also didn't seem like you were having that good of a time. you were just on a mission. So yeah. I give it a 1 out of 10.
One out of 10.
If I could give it 0, I would.
You could.
It's our podcast.
You give it whatever you want. 0 out of 10.
I'll give it a 1. It deserves a 1. It's a something you can play.
Yeah, I'll give it a 1 too.
It's okay for like 5 minutes when getting the pizza and stuff. I don't know.
The game, the fact that it kills you right off the bat, like the first time you play it, because you have about 2 seconds to react to the concierge who grabs you right away. That just kind of sets the tone of the whole game. It's like if you don't immediately start running to the right, like you die.
Yeah.
Within like a few seconds. So
I'm not going to be recommending this to my nephew to play or anything like that.
So what were your strategies of getting through this?
Oh man, I forgot about strategy. Not to die, is that a strategy? I don't know. I don't really you know by now that I don't really do strategy very well. This is my downfall for my gaming Achilles heel is strategy. For this, honestly, I don't even know what strategy you could have. Just trying to learn the game the best you can is like the only strategy I can even think of.
Yeah, I think the best strategy for this game is to watch someone else play the game, because there are just so many hidden items and just so much stuff and so many little tidbits that if you don't know, you're just going to be stuck forever.
Yeah. I guess this could be strategy. When I was working my way through all the floors of the hotel, I would go into the minimum amount of rooms that I had to before it would allow me to go to the next floor.
Oh, really?
Because I knew I was probably going to die, and I didn't want to die from going in a room that I didn't really need to.
My strategy was to go through all the rooms, especially for the longer playthrough, because you do need like lives and weapons and ammo and stuff. I feel like that was actually pretty helpful.
Yeah. I think that's the difference between me and you. You are always up for the more challenging part of games, and I feel like the minimum is already challenging enough.
But I feel like in some ways it was more challenging if you skipped the rooms, because you did miss a bunch of items and health and stuff. Or not health, because you can't get health in this game.
Yeah, well, if I was planning on beating the whole game like you, maybe I would have tried harder to go into all the rooms and get all of the items. Yeah. But since I pretty much knew as soon as I got out of the hotel I was going to quit the game, I didn't maybe try as hard as I could have.
That's fine. That's fair enough.
Thank you.
Okay, so strategies other than watching people play the game so you know what to do in this game. My other thing was actually gather weapons and stuff in the hotel rooms. Actually, if you can watch one of the more complete playthroughs where they do show you where all the hidden items mm-hmm. are in the game, that's super helpful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like you jump in this one particular spot in the wall and then a weapon will pop out.
Oh, wow.
Or a pizza will pop out. And, you know, it's not obvious. Like, almost all the weapons in the game are hidden. And they're just some enemies, like the bellhop in the basement. Like, there's no way to get by him without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. True. You can't jump over him or anything.
You literally have to have a dart gun or a punch glove gun or the bigger punch glove gun. Those are the three guns or the necklace. You have to have something that can either stun him or kill him, which is, just bad design.
Yeah, going back to my original point, bad design.
Really bad design. So this game obviously has no future.
It's true. I could not find one thing about the future of this game. I don't really know what there would be. Like, I guess I was seeing if there's maybe like a Home Alone game that was going to come out soon or something, but I couldn't really find anything.
People aren't like lining up to remake or remaster this game, update the graphics, give it updated music, you know.
I know. I kind of wish they would. I mean, it would be cool if there was a game where you could create your own booby traps. Like, that would be neat. I mean, maybe there is a game out there that you can do that, but I don't know.
From what I've seen and read, the Sega Genesis version of Home Alone would have been a lot like what I wanted from a Home Alone game. Because in that game, it doesn't follow the story at all. Instead, you have to basically kind of protect these five houses from the wet bandits. Mm-hmm. So you have to go through the houses and gather items, and you can actually set booby traps in that game.
So this is,
and build like new weapons and stuff. It's more along the lines of like what, as a kid, I really was expecting, and I never really got a chance to play it. I bought it recently, but I forgot I don't have a Genesis, so I can't play it on anything.
You did. So we'll be on the lookout for a Genesis. Maybe try to purchase one of those on eBay soon or something.
Yeah. The one thing I did find was on August 6, 2019, Disney CEO Bob Iger announced a new Home Alone movie was in development. The movie will be a remake of the original and is to appear on Disney Plus, and filming was delayed due to COVID.
Boo.
Yeah, I don't...
Who wants a remake? I mean, the original one is still freaking awesome.
Yeah, why... I mean, it's already a great movie. Why do you need to make it again?
I don't really see how they're going to enhance it. It's not like special effects are going to make this movie better or anything like that, you know?
You can really see the paint cans cracking their skulls in this...
Yeah, it's going to be rated R for gore and violence. Oh, gosh.
So, did you beat level one?
Yes, I did. I got out of the hotel. Woohoo! Woo-hoo. I've never been so happy to leave a hotel. It took me a little while to get out of the hotel. I had to play like three or four like sessions to like get out of the
hotel.
It's hard.
It's a lot harder than I kind of let on.
It's hard and it's frustrating. So it wasn't a game I was going to sit there and play for like an hour. I was definitely tried a few times and I was like, and then I took a break and I came back to it the next day.
Refreshed. Take an anger break.
Yeah. It did help. Occasionally I would have Coach Eric next to me helping me out saying, don't do this. You got to hit that guy twice. Yeah. You got to do this. You got
to
do that.
Or you have to
that was helpful.
Slide here or.
Yeah.
I think I actually had to tell you how to slide in the game because it doesn't.
You did. Because I did not know. I mean, maybe eventually I would have just tried that on my own, but I don't know. Like, I'm kind of dumb when it comes to little things like that in games. Like, it takes me a while to figure it out on my own sometimes.
It is mentioned in the instruction booklet.
Oh, well, we don't have that. Yeah. But I think that just goes, you know, because I haven't been gaming my whole entire life, and there's definitely, like, an edge that you and some other people that have been gaming, like, their whole life, there's just certain things that you've learned and you know to try, and, like, that I don't have that in my brain yet. Yeah. I'm getting you there, but I'm always like, oh man, yeah, that's so smart. Like, why didn't I try to do that? And it makes sense. So hopefully I'll get better at that as we keep playing more and more games. But it definitely helps when you have someone there that's being the game and they're trying to help you. So thanks, Eric.
Yeah, so my challenge, I did actually beat the game.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Oh, and actually, if you want to go watch the game, watch him play through the game. It's on our Twitch channel, so you can watch Eric play through the whole game, and you can maybe even get some tips for yourself on how to beat the game if you feel like going back and playing this.
Yeah, I'm sure they're definitely going to be going back.
Oh yeah, I'm sure everyone's dying to just just go back and play this
after
game
Nikki's
after our
stellar zero star review.
No, one star.
One star.
Okay?
Oh, yeah. One star. This week, Nikki will not be choosing the challenge or the game. We have a surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
A Taco Bell surprise. We're now sponsored by Taco Bell.
Yeah, I wish. Man,
if
free
you want,
tacos. That'd be awesome.
If you want your tacos and a cardboard thing, go to Taco Bell.
Yes. And this might make no sense to you, but I'm going to explain it. So we're doing something special, as we mentioned earlier. We've got our 10th episode coming up. Like, whoa.
Wow, 10 episodes.
10 episodes. And that's a pretty cool milestone for us. So we thought about doing something a little special, mixing it up. And so for our 10th episode, we would like to announce that we are going to have a third co-host.
For an episode.
Yes, just for one episode. And that co-host will be...
Oh, John.
John Cardinal. He's one of three of the Cardinal Bros that we are friends with. He's a good friend of ours, and he's probably one of the best gamers I've ever met. I know a lot of gamers, but he is really smart and really good at picking up games really fast, and he's played a million games, and he's our friend, and we play games with him all the time.
Yeah.
So we were like, who do we want to be our first guest?
Yeah, it seemed obvious. Like, yeah. He's very passionate, and I think that translates well.
So for the next episode,
we're going to let John pick the game.
Yeah, and he's also picking the challenge as well. So the other day, he dropped off this really awesome Taco Bell box. It looks like the box that you get when you order, you know, like a 12-pack of tacos or something. And it's got the game in it. We don't know what it is yet. And it also has a letter with a challenge on it. Let's open it up and see what John picked.
Sounds good. We're just going to put all these box noises on here. Here's the box. Just going into it.
Oh, there's a decoy. He put a book in there. I knew that it felt too heavy to have a game in there. I was like, I even asked you, Eric, didn't I? I was like, do you think he put something else in here to make it, you know, like heavier so we couldn't figure out what game it was?
Apparently, John wants us to play the book, The Green Mile by Stephen King.
Not that I would have been able to guess it by the weight of the cartridge or anything anyways, but that's hilarious. So we open the box. There's a Stephen King novel. There's a letter, and there's a gift card for Nintendo Switch. I'm surprised because I for sure thought John was going to pick an old game. Didn't you? I figured he would pick something on a Nintendo or SNES or...
No, I don't know. I had no idea what John was going to pick.
You had no ideas? No guesses?
No.
Okay.
We didn't really do the guessing, did we?
Well, I did. In my head, I did some guesses. I thought maybe Zelda, because I know that's like one of his favorite games. Or Kirby. Or maybe even like Dr. Mario. I don't know. Those are kind of my guesses. So you want to read the letter? I haven't read it yet, so this will be the first time I'm hearing it.
Oh, yeah, it actually is an old game.
Ha ha, I was right.
So we are going to be playing Bubble Bobble.
Okay.
This is an arcade game from 1986, and they just ported it to the Switch.
Oh, cool.
Also, it's a two-player game.
Nice.
But that's all on the note.
Yeah, cool.
All right, so let me read the rest
read
of the
note.
Yeah, read the note.
Okay. Word for word.
If I can speak for your audience, we love to hear you guys rapping, so this challenge is difficult.
Oh, no.
Your challenge is to get all three endings. Good luck.
Oh, my gosh.
On Bubble Bobble.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I don't think I've
never played this game before. Is it really hard?
I think I've gotten one ending. The good thing about the game is it lets you continue. Like, you don't have to.
Like a save point.
Yeah, you don't have to constantly restart it.
Okay.
when you game over, but it is...
This is good, because I'm still working on Hades. Just for anyone that wants to know, I'm still trying to get out of the underworld. But, okay, so that's a little ray of, like, light that you don't have to start over every time. But I don't know. I mean, I've heard of this game. Is it like a puzzle game where you're trying to like pop like the balloons? Kind of like where you have like a, I don't know, like a bolt, not a bullet, but something you shoot it up and you're trying to hit the balloons? Or am I thinking something else?
I would call it like a puzzle platformer.
Okay. Kind of like maybe Peggle or something.
There are puzzle solving elements to it. It's not the biggest highlight of every level. I think it's more just trying to trap all the enemies and pop them.
Okay.
As a main objective for each level. But some of the levels can get kind of complicated where you're like, okay, how do I get up there? Or how do I, where you have to like maybe hop on the bubbles, because if you stay on the bubble too long, they'll pop or whatever.
Awesome. Yeah, I have no knowledge of this game really. So I'm excited to try something new. And also, I feel like I'm going to be frustrated again, because if John says it's hard, that probably means it's really hard.
Well, we're going to have to get all three challenges, or we're going to have to rush.
Which, that makes me think, what if, so we have to do this together. So there's not a way that I could beat this challenge without you, right? Or vice versa?
No, you can. You can.
Okay.
If you want to try it on your own, you can, if we can work together on it.
Okay.
Oh, and I missed this note on the back of the card.
Oh.
It says this game is on the eShop, and it's called Bubble Bobble for Friends. So that's what we will be playing.
All right. I'm excited. So what happens if we both lose the challenge? Are we going to do like a duet rap?
Maybe.
Oh, that'd be fun. Get a little switch off action going or something.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't intend to lose the challenge, but I could figure out how to get three endings.
Okay, well, I'm excited.
Maybe not. Maybe it's way harder.
I'm super excited. And thank you, John, for dropping that off and agreeing to be on our podcast.
Yeah, so we'll see John on our next episode.
And hopefully we'll see you guys.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye. As always, if you like the podcast, please share with your friends, write us a review, and feel free to interact with us on social media. We would love to hear your opinions on anything that we talked about. And again, thanks for listening.